Welcome to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast, Retro Asylum. Trying to break my concentration, which is really easy to do this early in the morning.
I
didn't try and break it, mate. I did.
I've got the two ultimate duo with me, as you can hear. Chris Worthington.
Hello.
And Mr. Mads.
Hello.
How are you guys?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, good. All good. Ready?
I'm excited.
I'm starting to get RPG ready.
Oh my gosh.
He doesn't sound excited.
No, I'm not very excited. You guys are going to subject me to the most uncomfortable of uncomfortables these next 2 months.
It's a bit like Mads playing a game he's never played before. If you go into it with that mindset, you're not going to enjoy it.
That's true.
You've got to say, I'm ready to just embrace whatever comes.
I am absolutely terrified. I've tried RPGs over the years. To be fair, I don't know. You know, I can't focus very well. And so I'll play these games for 10 minutes and I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing. And I check out. So
yeah, maybe it was a little. Maybe you can play them in 10 minute chunks. You just have to play about 10,000 10 minute chunks and then you'll complete them.
I don't know. Maybe with a little bit of help, maybe with a little bit of direction, I'll be able to get through some of these. I mean, it was similar with point and clicks. I've never really played those, and I've enjoyed the ones I've tried. So we'll see with RPGs.
There's a couple on my list that you're going to love.
I can tell.
I think on my list, there are no chance encounters. So it's only real battles. So that's something that... pretty much everybody who's not really into RPGs hates these random battles, and I think maybe I'm steering clear of these in my list this time. So pick one of my games, Mark.
I've got the whole gamut covered. You're fine. You'll be fine.
So as you can tell, what's going to happen is these guys are going to select a number of games. I think three each. I get to whittle them down, and one of them's going to be very butthurt. The other one's going to be very happy. That will be determined later on, and then I can be blamed for whatever game was picked, and I think that's going to be how this one goes. But before we get there, I think we need to do a quick catch up. It's been about 3 weeks since we did some Sonic. How did that one go down, Mads? How do you think?
I think people liked it, actually. It wasn't a good game, the main Sonic CD game that we were playing, but it was a game. But we did have a lot of fun talking about it, and I at least liked Sonic 2, so there were some good games being played as well. No, it's gone down well. People have been surprised that I actually ended up liking a Sonic game, but it's been good.
Yeah, I think so. So
it was a great episode to listen to. It was the chemistry between the three of you was really good.
All right, Chris, so before we get deep into these, let's go ahead and see what you've been up to. Let's do a little catch-up. It's been a while since you've been on.
Yeah, it feels a bit like deja vu because I've been very busy, as usual, with various games. I've had a lot going on with Kane and Rince. Well, I've got a lot coming up with Kane and Rince over August and September. I'm a little bit of the retro game guy or one of the go-to retro gamers, which I'm absolutely happy with. I'm currently playing Myst on the old Windows 98 PC, which I've played at least three times in the past. But my recollection, my recall for these things is really bad. So I could remember one puzzle in the whole game so far, and that was a pretty notorious maze section that I've been able to... At least I had some recollection of that, but... I might as well be playing this game for the first time because the puzzles, I have absolutely no recall of how to solve them at all, which is good in a way because that's what Myst is, right? It's a puzzle box game. It's a box full of puzzles you have to solve. So I've been enjoying that. I'm just about to start playing Star Wars, is it Rogue Squadron on the N64? Was it? Yeah. Or was it mixed up whether it was Rogue Leader, the original, or whether that was the sequel? You know which line of games I'm talking about, right?
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
The arcade shooters. So we're doing the whole series of that in October, so I need to crack on. I've never played those games, so I'm playing them all three of them for the first. But they're not very long games. And for Retro Asylum, of course, having just finished Final Fantasy IV in the community playthrough, We've got Castlevania 3 coming up, starting in a week or so, which I'm really looking forward to. Supposedly the best of the 8-bit Castlevanias. So I'll be busting out the Famicom for that and probably playing a little bit on the Castlevania Collection on Switch as well. And, mate, I've been enjoying playing quite a lot of and really enjoying Outrun 2.
Yeah, good. Man, you are playing a lot of games. Yeah, that game is great. I know Mads is loving Outrun 2.
He loved it for the 20 minutes he played it. And then
we better keep that palate dry. Cause
I've played for a lot more than 20 minutes, but I just don't enjoy playing it for more than 20 minutes like at one go, because it quickly becomes boring to me.
Yeah, I get that. I could do longer than 20 minutes, but after about 45 minutes, I do think, oh, okay, that'll do for now. Mm. Yeah.
It's a brilliant game. I love the drifting mechanic, and it's really beautiful.
Yeah,
it runs great on the original Xbox, but it's just, it's also a very boring game for me, but I'm not into racers.
I've done about 35 of those missions so far.
Yeah.
Really enjoying just kind of the whole kind of tick boxy process of just doing this, a few, ticking the boxes, getting the rewards, hopefully unlocking a new car or a new track in the soundtrack. And yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Well, let's get into it in more detail when we actually record that episode. But I do have my reasons for thinking that this, even for a racing game, isn't that exciting. But let's get there later on.
What about you, mate? What have you been up to?
You asking me, mate, or what have I been up to? So gaming wise, I've been playing a lot of Fix It Felix Jr. on the C64, because that's the high score challenge that King Trio is running right now, in collaboration with New Game Old Flame this time. So there's even prizes to be had. But I think I'm on the fourth place right now. Kind of a good score. I'm happy with it, but I think I can do better. And the guy right in front of me with a few thousand extra points is the guy who actually made the game for the C64. So he's playing along. Well, I like that.
That's brilliant. So is he on Discord?
He's on our Discord. I think he's on our Discord now as well. He was on the New Game Old Flame Discord because they interviewed him. He's the same guy who did all of the coding for a Pig Quest. So they interviewed him recently. And after just chatting with us for a while we were playing, he started playing along, and now he's third, and I'm fourth, I think, on the high school challenge. And of course,
so
Picks and Mr.
Pick?
Cook have the first and second. Well, I think Mr. Cook is actually the first one right now, and Picks the second one, and they are like, I think, twice as many points as Tony and I. So, of course. That's how it's supposed to be. No, but it's a great game, so I encourage everybody, if you listen to this before the month is over, then go join our Discord, go into the High Score Challenge forum or whatever you call it, and try the game and then submit a score. It's great. And apart from that, I have actually been playing yet another retro game, because I've been playing Looney Tunes on the original Game Boy. Have you guys ever played that?
No.
It's a Sunsoft release, actually.
Mm.
It's,
oh, nice.
It's not a game I would have picked up ever if I hadn't if somebody hadn't sold me on the idea. And Carl from Video Game Newsroom Time Machine always talks or often talks about Looney Tunes, the Sunsoft release for the Game Boy, and that it was one of the few licensed games that was actually a really good game. And it is. It's a really, really competent platformer with some fun boss fights. So had great fun playing all the way through that on the Analog Pocket, cheating with save states because I don't have time for this anymore. But it was good fun trying to figure out the bosses and get past them. So,
is it an NES port, Mads, or was it originally, was it developed for the Game Boy? Do you know?
I believe it was for the Game Boy, but I don't know, actually. I only know of this version, at least.
Got a memory of the Retro Game Squad guys playing it at some point on one of their older episodes.
Okay, yeah, could be.
Maybe what they did a couple of licensed episodes, didn't they?
I think so.
Or cartoon games. Mm. Sure, they may have played it on there, you know.
Yeah, it could be. It's great. I mean, it's you, every level you have a new main protagonist. So you are you end up in the seventh level. I think it's Bugs Bunny, and the level before is Daffy Duck, perhaps. And you play as the Tasmanian or Tasman Devil, and. You remember Speedy Gonzales as well, and all those.
Andre, Iba, Iba.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really good fun. Some of the levels are really easy and quickly done, and others have lots of boss fights that you need to figure out. And
do the mechanics change depending on your character?
Yeah, completely. completely.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it does sound good.
It's really good. It's really good. It's I playing it like I did, it's not that long. But, I mean, had I played this back in the day, this would have been a, like, 50-hour game to get through, because you have to start all over when you lose one of the boss fights and then have to train again. But I just cheated and did a save state in front of the bosses and then tried to figure out how to do them, and that was good fun.
Good old quality of life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I do love playing, the originals on my analog pocket, so it's good fun playing them like that.
You've got the perfect blend, haven't you, of having something which looks and feels exactly like the original, but you can then see the whole game because you've got the modern comforts as well.
Yes. Larger screen and a screen that you can actually see without being sitting directly in the sun. So, yeah, it's good. And
it's like
apart
glamping,
from that, I have been playing some Horizon Forbidden West and loving that, because that's what we're playing through on playthrough at the moment. And
yeah, didn't even,
what a game.
I didn't
game.
Even mention that, but my God, what an incredible experience that is.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a game that everybody who plays modern games should at least experience. It's really, really good.
Yeah. With all the games, also, as all the games that you list, Chris, the, you know, the 80-hour game that you're playing, my heavens.
It's just, because Horizon just feels like it's going to be part of my life for a long, long time. So it's just kind of there in the background. I'm 35 hours in already and don't even feel like I've really even started it. That's the funny thing. But it's, I mean, for everyone who wants to see what games I've turned into over the past 40 years, for good and bad, to be honest, because there's elements of that game which I actually don't like. I'm more on that on playthrough, but in terms of the presentation, Jesus Christ! I mean, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just phenomenal.
It's really good.
What about you, Mark?
Well, I've just been working as I do. I do. I have two official jobs, so I work my butt off. But and so I don't get a lot of time of playing, but that's why I like the Game Club. I've always focused on the Game Club games for the month. It gives me something to focus on in my tired hours. But the, gosh, I feel like a broken record. I found another Amiga this week, which is super weird. I think I'm draining Utah of all the Amigas. I had a friend ask me, are you a magnet, an Amiga magnet?
And I was just thinking you're an Amiga magnet.
Man, and so it's kind of a weird story, but I have a friend who we actually, the new game Old Flame actually interviewed. He developed a game for the TurboGrafx-16. Called Cleopatra's Curse. He's a really good friend of mine. And he calls me on Friday, kind of in a panic, and he was just like, what can you tell me about the A3000? And I said, they're kind of expensive. Okay, I'll call you back. And I was like, whoa, wait a second. What do you mean? And anyway, long story short, he was in a, I guess you'd like your car boot sale, but they were selling out of a storage unit.
Okay.
You know, kind of a thing. And yeah, he said he'd walked up and he looked and this guy was pulling out a white box and it said Commodore Amiga on it. And so he was like, his eyes got wide because he knows I'm into that stuff and pushed it back. The guy pushed it back in. So he went over and looked at it and it was Amiga 3000 in its original box, which is insane. All kinds of stuff. Software was in there. No games. No, I mean, who has an Amiga even for work and has zero, not even a bootleg, nothing. Not even Lemmings. Not even Bubble Bobble.
It came from the desert.
The 3000 and the 2000. They weren't for gaming. They were business machines, right? So if you want to find Amigas with games, it should be a 500, 600, 1200, something like that.
Yeah, and the 600 and 1200s were not native to the States, and so those are almost impossible to find here. Who was it on? Okay. There, every once in a while, Ultra Steve, he pops in the Discord and sells off some of his stuff. He had a 1200 he sold on here for like 200 pounds, 200, 250. I was tempted, you know. but no. But yeah, he basically picked up this. So I can't say I found it. But it came to me anyway. I picked it up on Friday night, the other night. It it all the software in there was able to get it to boot to some animations that they'd made for, I think it was called Sensible Media, which was apparently a little media company here. So there was there's like TV scripts, all kinds of stuff that I couldn't get to open up yet. But I mean, there must be 60 to 80 floppy disks of work and stuff like that. So I don't know. Cool. I really enjoyed digging through that stuff.
Yeah, it's good.
A treasure trove of, I don't want to say junk, but it is a lot of stuff. It was a huge box. Yeah. So that's what I've been up to, adding more Amigas. I think I need to just have an Amiga row in my computer room here.
I think you might need a new housemate just to house your Amigas.
Yeah, I probably could use some Amigas for the foundation, build it up a little taller. Yeah.
An Amiga keystone.
And the thing is I don't even, I have no nostalgia for the Amiga. The very first Amiga I picked up, because I was dying to just experience it, I think it was 2015, if I remember right. And it was, I got an Amiga 500, excuse me, Amiga 500, and it was, it had a hard, you know, it wasn't a hard drive, but one of those modern CF card adapters in it, so I could boot to things. And anyway, so that was my first experience with the Amiga, and apparently I've gone full hog. I think I've got the 1000 now, the 2000, the 3000, the 500, the CD32. So I'm all Amiga'd out, except a 600, 1200. I don't have any of the 32-bit systems. So
CDTV?
1500.
Don't have the 1500 yet, of course.
Okay. Do you have a CDTV?
Oh, no, of course not. No, okay. No.
So I have all of the gaming Amigas. I have I do need a 500 plus at some point. I have a 500, 600, 1200, CDTV, CD32. Yeah.
Wow.
I want a 500. If anyone knows of a 1500 going in the UK, I'd love to buy one of them. That was all I had growing up. I don't think I had a 500. I went from the 1500 to the 1200.
I don't think I've ever seen the 1500 actually.
Yeah, what is that one? I've heard of it.
So that's like a desktop. It's like a desktop, and like it looks like a proper PC. You know, looks like an IBM PC. It's like a proper desktop with monitor sits on top of it.
So like the 2000 and 3000.
Yeah, but it's bigger, a bit chunkier than the 2000 and 3000. It runs a 1.3 Kickstart.
Okay, so it's actually a 500 in a box.
500 in a big case, okay. Pretty much. Cool. Yeah, I have 1 mega RAM and stuff like that. But yeah, I went from that to the 1200.
Okay.
And, I've got a 500 now, but back in the day, I didn't ever have a 500.
I'll have to look at that 1500, because that sounds exactly like what a stock 2000 has.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah, 2000 was smaller. I remember it was smaller, huge. And then the 3000 was bigger again.
The 2000s are ginormous. I mean, they're the size of an. I feel like they're about the same size as my old 5150 IBM. It's a beast.
Yeah,
but yeah, I'm like, okay. What are the difference between the 2000 and the 1500? Oh, I'll do some digging, or maybe I'm sure somebody will post in the. In the Discord. You guys are dumb.
We'll have to do an episode on business Amigas, the business end.
Yeah, yeah. Have you guys ever seen one of the Commodore B128s? It's like a C64, but it's the business 128 machine. That's pretty cool.
The B128 was a bomber.
That's a pretty, yeah. The B128 bomber, yeah. Yeah, there's some weird, Commodore made just a million different machines. It's kind of fascinating to dig through, but... Yeah, that's me. I like to tinker. I feel like at some point in my life, I need to stop tinkering and actually sit down and play games. You guys are inspiring.
Yes.
You guys are very inspiring with all the games you play. Even just Mads picking up Looney Tunes and popping that in. That's great. Yep. I need to do that more often.
Well, speaking of games, mate, let us tell you about some games.
Yeah, some great games that you're going to be enjoying for 2 months of your life, mate.
Oh, my head. 2 months. Okay, well, I'm literally going to just sit back. I'm going to let you guys wax lyrical. Let the listeners get a little nostalgic for the Chris and Mads. And I'm going to let you...
We'll take you on a journey.
I may pop in and ask a few questions or two, but I'll sit here quiet for a minute.
So I can start you off with the game that you'll be picking for the winner here. So my first game, Chris and I each pick three, so there'll be six games we're going through, listeners. My first game is... Fire Emblem, Mystery of the Emblem. So, Chris and I, we set a theme for ourselves this time. It's, what do you call them, tactical RPGs or strategy RPGs?
Yeah, tactical or strategy RPGs,
So instead of just playing the JRPGs we've been playing before, or Western RPGs, we thought we'd go for a specific genre this time. So this is the genre where you will find stuff like Fire Emblem and, well, Tactics Ogre. You got that later on. And Shining Force, which you eliminated last time, Mark, I think. Or was it the time before? So yeah, this is where you have big strategic battles moving, often multiple units in, and the enemy has multiple units moving around. You can see them all at the same time, and you need to put up your ranged attack and your melee attack and have a proper battle instead of just those well, how do you describe the normal encounters? The where you have a single screen you pop into and then you just use your weapons and spells. This is a,
one
this
group
is a more
on one
of a tactical
side, one
experience.
Group on the other, and
So these consist of like a squad, like a 4-person squad, and then you're battling. How many enemies typically are there? One or multiple?
Oh, they can be 20 or 30.
So it's gonna. This is really gonna determine that I would not have been a general in the military. I'd have been one of the frontline grunts for sure. Okay.
And that's the difference for something like. I mean, even like the original Ogre Battle games, which are more real time than turn based, or something like a. Have you ever played like Langrisser, where you control kind of units and squadrons rather than with these games, you tend to have a party of 4, 5, 6, maybe even 7 characters, and you control. You give commands to each of them. You know, a turn might consist of one character moving into position, attacking, or using an item, and then once all your men have been. Turn over, you know, think of XCOM kind of type battles.
Yeah, Advanced Wars, for example, if you played that before.
Yeah, similar,
So battles are like, in most of these games, battles will be like smaller, more condensed versions of an Advanced Wars mission, for example.
So what is the point of these games?
It's having fun, mate.
What's the point of life? the difference between something like this or Final Fantasy Tactics or these games we're going to talk about and an Advance Wars or an XCOM, I always think, is more character-driven story and character progression. So each of your characters will have levels, just like characters in an RPG, stats that increase, equipment that you can equip. Whereas the likes of XCOM tends to be more about the actual kind of tactical kind of arenas, the battles that you fight, and the characters tend to be have less of a personality, the individuals.
Yeah.
Grand sweeping stories, character customization, character improvement, and just fun battles. I mean, obviously that last bit's in the eye of the beholder.
Okay.
So let me talk a bit about Fire Emblem then. So the Fire Emblem series is just a small series. It only has 17 core entries and 5 spin-offs. So there's not much to tackle there.
No.
So if you really fall in love with this, Mark, I mean, there's lots of stuff you can play along with here. This is actually the 3rd game released, but I chose this one for 2 reasons. One is that it's divided into 2 books, and the first book, when you play it here, is actually a remake of the very first 8-bit game. This is a 16-bit, by the way, it's for the Super Famicom. So the first 2 games were released for the NES. And the first book here in this game is a remake of the first game, and the second is like a prequel, I believe, to that story as well. So it's supposed to be really good. It was never released in outside of Japan, but it has a fan translation. Fire Emblem is the older installations are known for being, they can be kind of brutal. There's permadeath, so if you lose a character, he's gone. You have to find somebody else. But, and this is for you, Mark, this game was re-released as Fire Emblem New Mystery of the Emblem on the Nintendo DS, the remake in 2010, I think. And there they have you can pick the mode. So you can pick the classic mode and still have permadeath, or you can pick the modern mode that holds your hand a bit and lets you, well, there's no permadeath anymore. You can, I guess you can just go back into town and pick guys up again if they die in your battle or something like that. So it's a bit less punishing, but still supposedly a really, really good game. Yeah, and I guess that's all I want to say about Fire Emblem. It's a huge, huge series that's been running for many, many years. And apparently the new entries, I have a friend that's playing some of the new entries on the 3DS he played, the last one. No, that was on the Switch, actually. He says that they are really, really good. So it's still a series that's going strong.
I do have a brother-in-law who absolutely loves those games, and since I've been in their family for over two decades, I've known about the game outside of the modern day, the Smash Brothers and things like that some of those characters of them have been into. But yeah, no, he absolutely loves Fire Emblem, and I just scratched my head. So we'll see what else we got. Chris,
the beauty about Fire Emblem is that it the gameplay is largely unchanged. You know, if you fired up Fire Emblem Engage, that was only released last year. I think was it released this year, wasn't it? In January, right at the start of this year. I mean, if you were to fire that up, you'd find okay, there's a little bit of dating elements and some wacky things that go on with the modern Fire Emblem, but the core gameplay is really unchanged from that what you've just described, Matt. So. It's classic gameplay. Really good fun.
And so this is technically the first entry in the series?
Third.
It's the third one, but it's a remake. I mean, it's there are two parts, and the first part here is a remake of the first 8-bit game. But supposedly this version is better.
Right. Okay.
So I picked this also to tease Chris a bit, because then I know he's going to have to start on the third game, and that's going to pain him.
Yeah, and there's obviously an element of that, but I'm also going to do this with a little bit with my first game as well, so I'm not going to get too het up about it. the problem with a lot of these RPG series is that not many of the early ones got Western releases, and if they did get Western releases, very few got PAL releases, so it all depends on the quality of the translation. I think for that game, for Mads' game there, Fire Emblem, I think it's got, I haven't looked, it's got a really good translation apparently, so you're in safe hands. My first game, what I'm not going to do is sit here and say why you shouldn't, well, I would normally say why you shouldn't choose Mads' games, because normally, let's face it, they're pretty rubbish. But in this arena, I can't do that, because Mads has chosen three absolute classics. So, you just have a bevy of incredible games to choose from here.
One could say that I've actually chosen the three best ones on the list today. So,
one could say, but there's only one judge of that. I'd happily play any of these six games. So I'm not going to comment. I think they're all great. There's one that I'm not keen on, and I have reasons for that, and I'll come to that a little bit later. My first game is a game by... So I'm going to go in chronological order here, but there is a bit of a segue from Mads' title, because my game was developed by a company called Quest Corporation. And again, it's not the first game in the series. The first series first game in that series was Ogre Battle. I mentioned Ogre Battle earlier because that wasn't a tactical RPG. It was more of like a real-time strategy kind of the battles there, or definitely had a real-time element to it. So it wouldn't be what I would consider classic tactical RPG gameplay. This game was released in 1995 on the Super Famicom in Japan, Japan only. It then got another release a year later for the Sega Saturn, again, Japan only. It then got a later PlayStation release in Japan in 1997 and then in North America in May 1998. It's Tactics Ogre. The wonderfully subtitled Let Us Cling Together. Really?
Where does that subtitle come from, mate?
Was it a line from a movie or something?
I don't know.
A song? But was it a song?
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know, Mads?
No, I don't. I don't. I just find it very weird. So.
Yeah. Well, the N64 game Tactics Ogre is called something like Those of Lordly Caliber.
Okay.
It's subtitled. Mm. So the series became known for its wonderful subtitles. Again, a really good translation patch if you wanted to play this on your Super Nintendo, on your SNES or your Super Famicom, fully translated into English using the PlayStation script, which is widely regarded as being a really good script of the game. It's really what I consider the archetype of strategy RPGs. Grown-up, mature, political plots. a lot of the older fantasy, the RPG games, a lot like, you know, a lot of kind of tropey high fantasy. You know, you have your warrior, your mages, and you kind of go into battle, and it's all very, you know, the end of the world is nigh kind of thing. This set the template for the likes of Final Fantasy Tactics, which followed a couple of years later, by really grounding the story. So it's about war in nations. It's like Game of Thrones, you know, it's political figures. It's very dark. Yeah, it's a 1990s game. So don't expect, you know, kind of Nobel Literature Prize winning scripts, but by all accounts, the story really does hold up. I've never played it. The only downside is, I mean, I've played quite a lot of these games. I think Mads has probably played enough, either at least kind of adjacent games or games in the genre to be comfortable. This is not a straightforward game. And if you look at the various reviews, there is, like Final Fantasy Tactics, a steep learning curve. The tutorial is absolutely mandatory if you want to have a clue what's going on. I believe it's less complex than Final Fantasy Tactics in some ways, in that it's kind of narrower in scope, but the kind of scope is a lot deeper into what it goes into than Final Fantasy Tactics. You can recruit various character classes. You can recruit the undead, the beasts, to create your party. Random battles are there, as are permadeath. Random battles are essential, apparently, because there is an element of grinding to it as well. The game is really difficult, so you need to make sure your party is properly leveled. But what you do get at the end is a really, really grown-up, well-told story that after you, and I believe, how long to beat has it down, is about 45 hours, and then 60 hours with extras, and 150 hours if you want to be a completionist. But the payoff there is a really, really good story with great 16-bit, early 32-bit graphics. There was a bit of touch-up for the Saturn and PlayStation. I'd say people can play whatever version they want. I think it's well worth anybody's time.
I have heard of that game as well. I think I've heard of most of these games, or at least seen them in some sort of passing. But yeah, I've absolutely never tried this game. I've seen it. I used to buy a lot of stuff from Japan, and it would always show up in Super Famicom job lots type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. Okay. Mads, number two, what do you got for me?
I've got a little bit of extra information about number one, just something I forgot to say. It's actually produced by Gunpei Yokoi. So there's some celebrities there as well. So yeah.
Nice.
Okay. So I'm going to continue with the G-Craft game, because one of my games is developed by G-Craft as well, and that's Ark the Lad. So Ark the Lad is a series, again, of tactical role-playing games. The first game, which is the one I'm supposing we play here, is released for the PlayStation in 1995. What can I say? It was the best-selling Japanese PlayStation game of 1995, with over 1 million copies sold. So this definitely launched a very popular series, and it's a loved game. It was never, the first game in itself was never released outside of Japan, but there was a collection, what's it called? It's just called Ark the Lad Collection, that has the first three games in it, I think, that's released in at least in North America. So there is a translation. So if this ends up winning, I think we should, of course, be playing that version, the Ark the Lad Collection, the first game there.
So that was released, mate, in 2002 for the PS1. I bet you that's as rare as hen's teeth.
It's more common than you would think. I've seen it quite a bit in my game store travels. Yeah, it was in a nice cardboard sleeve.
That's good.
It was always kind of an expensive bugger, you know.
Is it released on a single CD or multiple CDs, you know?
No, it was multiple.
Well, it says four games. Four games in the collection.
Yeah,
I assume four CDs. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is what's to say? We always describe what an a strategic RPG is. This is, I was looking at videos because I've never played Arc the Lab myself, whereas normally in these kind of strategic RPGs, you have your battlefield laid out and you have your characters, they can move this and this far and so on. This is a bit of a modern take on it already in here in 95, because when your character is highlighted, it highlights the squares that he can walk onto with his range right now, and you can try to, at least as far as I can see, you could try to walk somewhere and see if you could use an ability and then actually walk back. It doesn't lock you to the decision you made immediately, so it feels a bit modern in its interface and maybe a bit easier to play than some of the other SNES games that we have on the list here. So I'm thinking this is a shorter and more focused and maybe a bit easier experience for the newcomer to strategic or tactical RPGs. But that's just a guess based on what I've seen on videos, because I haven't actually played this yet. Have you played it, Chris?
No, mate. No, it was one that I always wanted to, when I was hoovering up these games back in the late 90s, it's one that I always wanted to play, but it never got a Western release, and I wasn't really aware of like the fan translation scene back then. Mm. And certainly by the time it got to 2002, I was kind of well into the PS2 by then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it looks like it's something that would be quite accessible, but...
Yeah, that's my understanding as well.
Mm. Interesting.
And a good story.
So I looked at just last night. I didn't watch more than about 30 seconds of any one of these games, and that one looked stunningly beautiful. That's as I recall.
Mm, it does.
It's video, but yeah. On that note, every one of those games looked absolutely terrifying. So I don't understand it. I'm like, why are they, I don't understand what the whole point of the game is. I don't know.
Me present to you, mate, the strategy RPG for you.
All right, let's hear it.
It's a game called Vandal Hearts, released. Developed and published by Konami for the PlayStation in 1996. And 1997, this actually got a PAL release. Could you believe that? Got a PAL release in June 1997. I played a hooky copy on my chip PS1 back in the day in the wake of playing Final Fantasy Tactics, which is still one of my all-time favourite games. I just wanted to play everything RPG, whatever type of object, didn't care, just wanted to play it. And one of those that came across my radar was Vandal Heart. I remember when Konami used to make games, like proper games. This was one of those proper games made by Konami. And it is, when I say it's the strategic RPG for you, it's because so this was criticized back in the day for not having a lot of the things that make RPGs RPGs. So yes, you have your characters, yes, you have level up and stats and everything, but you don't have any, and all the other stuff has been stripped out. So this game is, again, another kind of, you know, I don't think it's meant to be as good a story as the Tactics Ogre game, but again, it's a grown-up story, a political thing about warring nations, as these games do tend to be. But all it is cutscene, battle, cutscene, battle, cutscene, battle. There's no random battles. There's no opportunities to grind. There are no, you can't, there's no shops. You don't have equipment that you can equip. There's no interaction between the characters other than in the cutscenes. Now, I look at that. Now, I really enjoyed playing this back in the day. Really enjoyed it. And it's got a sequel, which is a little bit more fleshed out. But Final Fantasy Tactics is like a 70, 80 hour game. I remember, and you know, I was kind of 16, 17 at the time, and I had all the time in the world on my hands, and you know, was playing just 8, 10 hours a day. I think I finished Vandal Heart in like 2 days. So it's only about 15 hours long. And again, there's no extra stuff, there's no side content to explore. It's just an A to Z game, one and done, no replayability, just finished. But it's really good fun, and it's got a really svelte and succinct battle system which doesn't overcomplicate things. It's got a fun story. It's got some lovely, bright, garish graphics with blood spurts when your characters hack away at the baddies. What's not to love? For those who are really into this, I think they will come away thinking, nah, it doesn't have the depth for me and it doesn't have a lot of the stuff that they like. But I think this is the perfect introduction to the genre. Perfect.
Have you tried this one, Mads?
No, I haven't. I haven't. I heard about it, but never played it.
Hmm. Man.
Here we go.
Making it hard for me.
Mads, like, number three.
It feels like Chris is a lawyer. I don't know.
Maybe
who would have thought so that?
Maybe that's why. Which, of course, means you can't trust anything he says.
No, never trust a scouser or a lawyer.
No, exactly. So what do you do when you have both in one?
Yeah, you're double whammy. Mm. Yeah,
it's a double negative, yeah, which normally means a positive.
Oh, my gosh. Here we go.
So, mate, I'm going to give you a chance to make the other Chris happy, because just a few months ago, you removed a Shining Force game for the Sega Saturn. That must have been Shining Force 3, I guess, from the list. Yeah. But I'm going to propose a Shining Force game here, but not Shining Force 3, rather Shining Force CD, which is a Sega CD release, released in 94 in Japan. And there is a North American and European release from 95 as well, so no need for fan translations here. Shining Force CD is actually, again, two remakes of games that were only released in Japan. So there were two. The Shining Force is quite a long series as well. And Shining Force had two Gaidens. So Shining Force Gaiden and Shining Force Gaiden 2 were only released for the Game Gear. And those two were re-released or remade in this Sega CD release that has, according to Wikipedia, gained a cult following and is considered to be one of the best titles released for the Sega CD platform. It's, again, it's a beautiful top-down graphics RPG, like you know them from all those 16-bit platforms. It has the same battle system, I do believe, as in... I've only played the first Shining Force, and that's really good. Some good tactical battles where your little team of protagonists face off against some huge armies sometimes. And then, this is just yet another one of those that isn't too hard. And again, because it's a remake, they often make it just a little bit more user friendly and try to get it to a larger audience. So very playable, I believe. And you have the possibility, if this wins, we have the possibility of playing the Sega CD version or giving the original Game Gear versions a go, if there are some fan translations, of course. I don't know much more than I can say about this.
It was also on the Sega Genesis Mini 2.
Is it?
I'm reading here, okay. Which is cool.
Yeah. So on the Mini, I believe...
On the first, second Mini, you know, the Mini 2.
And I believe on the first one, they had both Shining Force and Shining Force 2.
Yeah.
So they put this one on the third one. Okay.
Yeah. I've criminally never played the Shining Force game, and I really don't know why, because I know I would absolutely love them. This feels like, this really does feel like going smack bang into the middle of a series. The only thing that kind of, you know, helps me is that these are Gaiden games, which means side story.
Yep, exactly.
And both of them are there, so I can kind of get myself comfortable with it, and maybe it'll be a nice little gateway into the whole series. Mark, you can't really go wrong with any of these, mate. I mean, this probably, objectively, this is probably the best game on the list.
Interesting. Well, we'll keep... I'll stay quiet for now.
But let me just give you a word of warning. Retro Gamer said in one of their old... they put like a top 100 games of all time, probably issue 100, I suspect. And it was number 77. And they made special note of Shining Force CD as one of the largest RPGs ever made.
Oh, God.
It can't be that long.
One of the largest.
It cannot.
Jesus Christ, for 700 hours.
Sounds a bit intimidating. Oh, yeah, it says here that this Retro Gamer included this almost overwhelming and epic title among their top 10 Mega CD games as well. Yeah.
Almost overwhelming.
Almost overwhelming, yes.
Almost. No. Wasn't overwhelming.
So maybe it's not for newcomers, let's say.
So Mark, I'm gonna give you the other end of the spectrum here, right? So, if you're listening to this and you're listening to us waffling on about, you know, kind of gentle, you know, newcomers, and you're thinking, sod that, I want to go in, I'm gonna go big or I'm gonna go home, I give me the most complex, dense, ridiculous strategic RPG that's ever been made, I've got just a game for you.
Right. Okay.
It's a game called Disgaea, Hour of Darkness on the PS2.
Disgaea. And I've heard of the name of Disgaea, but I know absolutely nothing.
So this is another part of a massively long-running series, which the latest game came out, Disgaea 6 came out. And it was Disgaea 6. I mean, there's been about 12 or 13 various remakes and ports and whatnot in the whole series. This is when I got my PS2 in, yeah, I think 2003, so a couple of years into the PS2. There wasn't a huge amount of RPGs in that first 18 months, but this one was on my radar because I loved the other tactical role-playing games I played. I was super excited when I finally got this. It was, I'm pretty sure it was American-only release, but, you know, hooky stuff and managed to... it did get a European release in 2004. I most definitely played it before then. So I fired this up, you know, really excited. I must have played it for a good 10, 15 hours. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't have the foggiest what was going on. I knew there was a great game there, and I knew it was funny, and it was bright, and it was Japanese, and it was fun, and a load of stuff that I really like. But Jesus Christ, is this game dense. It really is. This is the kind of thing where you might need 2 months just to read the necessary kind of FAQs and everything that you might need to actually just get started with this thing. But if you are... it is a series that I've always wanted to go back to this game, because I know this. I mean, people who like this game absolutely love it. But the barrier to entry is very high. So this is one, if you have sat there for the last 20 minutes or whatever, and you've thought to yourself, do you know what, just throw them hardcore at me. This is the game. If you're sitting here thinking, oh, Jesus Christ, I couldn't think of anything worse, just discount this game straight away.
Interesting. Yeah. What do you think, Mads? I can see the gears spinning in your head there.
I'm thinking I know what the decision about that one game is going to be then. But let's see. You got all the six games now. I gave you Fire Emblem. Let's see, what's it called? Fire Emblem Mystery of the Emblem and Ark the Lad and Shining Force CD. And Chris?
I've got Disgaea, Vandalheart, and Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together.
Oh, yeah. you start whittling down the list, Mark. You can take off one of Chris's, and then you can take off one of the Scousers, and then in the end, take off one of from the lawyer, and then you start whittling down my list.
I see, yeah. Excuse me. Well, I can tell you right off the bat, if Chris played a tactical game for 15 hours... and was kind of confused by it, I don't even know if I'd know how to hit start in that game. Like, my heavens. You played that game for like 15 hours, Disgaea?
Yeah, at least 15 hours. It probably was more, looking back now, it feels like 15 hours, but, you know, it was kind of university days, and I would have had plenty of time on my hands, so maybe even a bit more. And, I don't... bounce off games. You know, if I start a game, I finish them. Generally, I don't stop playing games. So I probably count on, you know, single digits the amount of games that I've started and not finished. That's one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, that one for sure's got to go. I mean, I would love to start at the hardest, you know, type of thing, but I also would like to start at the easiest. To see if I can, you know, like my head. Yeah. No, I am the most simple-minded gamer that I know. I don't know, maybe outside of Chris and Dean, they seem to we've been going back and forth. They seem to share similar interests in simple game, pick up and play gaming like myself.
And I think Steve and Dean.
Oh yeah, I said Chris. Yeah. I'm looking at you.
And Matt.
Yeah. I'm massive. Yeah, it's a different level.
Yep.
Yeah. I fall in their camp. I think it probably comes down to, not that you guys have oodles of time on your head, but maybe it comes down to the older I get, the less time I have. But trying to focus 2 solid months of free time on a game, I mean, I'm thinking, even if I got 15 hours into this and I still didn't know what I was doing, and I know how to play these games, there's no way I'm going to make any kind of progress. So I think this guy has definitely got to go. Is number one.
Fat.
Yeah. So that leaves Chris with Tactics Ogre and Vandal Hearts. Let's see, Mads, I'm going to go ahead and wipe one of yours out.
No need, mate. No need.
No need. Yeah, I think I'm going to wipe out Fire Emblem off the bat.
What?
I've watched my brother-in-law play these games. And even though he bought a Switch just to play the newer one, this is a while ago.
Yeah, man. That's a fair reason to purchase.
Yeah. And, but, you know, yeah, no. I'm just going to do a big nope, so.
Just no. Yeah. Just no, Mads.
I mean, yeah.
That's harsh.
And I think, I don't know why. I don't know. Like I said, I looked at about 30 seconds because I didn't really want to spoil anything out of you guys'
experience. Yeah, I suspect you're probably not going to have much spoiled in 30 seconds in a game that's probably going to take you 60 hours.
And these all looked exactly the same. One of Mads's first choices that he ended up not picking actually seemed really good. And so I'm kind of sad that one got disappeared. I guess it's not a tactics game. Is that what we decided?
That was a tactical game, but not an RPG, really.
Not an RPG.
I never played it before, but yeah.
Okay. So that one probably would have won then for Mark. So that's okay. let's look. So we have got Shining Force CD and Ark the Lad left for Mads. Tactics Ogre, Vandal Hearts.
Feel free to dispose of another one of Mads's, mate, because we all know what you're going to choose.
I don't know what I'm going to choose, Chris. I'm just looking at the list. Man. I'm like, what do I want to subject myself for two whole months? So, I'm going to get rid of Tactics Ogre. Does that hurt your feelings, Chris? Yeah. Yeah. Dang it.
But Let Us Cling Together, it's such a wholesome subtitle.
Could you imagine the beautiful cover that Dean could have done with all three of us clinging together? Who would be in the middle? I don't know. So
you miss it out, mate.
I know. Well, okay. But you've played this game, yeah?
No, I've not played this one. You've not
played this one. Damn. Well, that's okay.
Okay.
I kind of feel like I know what I'm going to on the final two. So let's, man.
So you're going to eliminate Chris's last game now?
Nope, not going to do. I'm going to leave it down to the final, of course.
Okay.
it really kills me because I'm of two minds on your last two Mads, and the reason is because with Shining Force, you're right. I got, Chris 1.0 completely berated me on Discord. Even like 2 months behind the fact, he still was like, oh, by the way, I still, I can't believe you killed Shining Force. And I think Roushi is the same way. He loves those games.
I'm sure they love Ark the Lad as well. So no matter what you do.
I'm going to lose.
They both love Vandal Hearts more.
And that's the thing. Do I, I love the idea of playing a PlayStation game, and we did just play a Sega CD game. You know? Oh, man.
Yeah, can't have too much Sega CD now.
Okay.
And neither of you have played Ark the Lad, am I right? Neither of you have played Shining Force CD.
Nope.
Crikey.
Chris has never played a Shining Force, and I've only ever played the first one. Well, actually the second one, because the first one that's called Shining Force is actually the second in the series. The first one's called Shining in the Darkness or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And these were Game Gear games? Two of them kind of smashed.
These were two Game Gear games that's remade for the Sega CD, yes.
Yeah.
But they are like Chris said, they're side stories, they're guidance.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wipe out Ark the Lad. That leaves us with a Sega CD game and a PS1 game.
Hmm. Exciting. Then,
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
I thought you'd keep Ark the Lad.
Yeah, I thought that too, actually.
Yeah.
That seemed shorter and more accessible, so. Okay.
So now this is an easy choice, right, mate?
Yeah, it's not. Of course. Shining Force.
I mean, we're talking Shining Force. They said it was 700 hours. Is that what you're telling me?
It said it was almost overwhelming. Just almost.
Almost. And I Vandal think, Hearts. Yeah. I know Vandal Hearts is super beloved as a game.
The only problem, I'll happily play either of these games in all seriousness. The only thing with Vandal Hearts is that we might have to end up playing the sequel as well.
Because it's short.
It is short.
Short, okay. Yeah.
It is short.
But, I mean, people have different amounts of time to play along here, so a short game is no problem, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Vandal Hearts, what was that released on? The PS
PS1
one and nothing else? Or
It got a Saturn, Japan-only Saturn port.
Okay.
And then I think it got a later PC release, much later.
Okay. Huh. But so there were some re-releases or remakes?
I don't think it was a remake. I think it just got ported to Windows randomly in about 2010.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
But it's a PS1 game. Yeah. It got a rare, what is, I think, now quite rare, Japan-only Saturn cover, which I don't even think a fan translation exists for. It's redundant.
Mm. And it's part of a series, or...?
Yeah, so there's two other games. There was Vandal Hearts 2, which I think came out very soon afterwards, and then there was a much, much later third one, and then there was a cancelled fourth one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's really good. I mean, you can't go wrong with either of these games, Mark, to be honest. Vandal Hearts is really good fun, and it is very breezy.
I mean, I like the idea of that, but I also like the idea of not upsetting Chris again. I'm going to kill Vandal Hearts. Let's go with Shining Force. Let's do it. Maybe
we've probably all upset Chris about four times already. Do you understand?
Chris is like, I can't believe.
Focus on the Chris that you can see right now.
I mean,
focus on that Chris.
He's going to punch right through the screen. Yeah, let's go with Shining Force CD.
Oh my God!
Yeah, let's do
I didn't
it.
Expect.
I know.
That.
Yeah, no, let's do it.
Okay.
I don't know. I at the end of the day, I have owned this game before.
For the Sega CD.
I did. Yeah. I've had that game in my collection multiple times, as I don't tend to hang on to the RPGs because I don't like to play them. So, but I would actually like to try this one. And
okay.
I think that would be fun. And even though we've just done a Sega CD, let's see if the Sega CD can redeem itself. What do you think?
Oh, it was quite good when we played the KO Flying Squadron. So.
Yeah, we're having a proper Sega year this year, aren't we?
With
KO and the Sonic games and Yakuza on playthrough and Panzer Dragoon.
This is the third Outrun. Sega CD game this year in the Game Club.
My God, we might as well just call it the Sega Game Club.
Yeah.
Sega's. What other game, Max? I'm thinking...
KO Flying Squadron 2 was Sega CD and Sonic CD, of course.
Oh, that was a Saturn.
KO was a sequel to a Sega CD game.
That's right. KO Flying Squadron was actually Saturn, and the second one was Sega CD, and the second one was Saturn. Yeah. Yes, okay.
That's right. But two Sega CD games we've had. Yeah, it's been Sega all year. That's kind of my fault, I think, partly. Which is
I'm happy with this, man. I think this will be great. As I said, you couldn't have really gone wrong with any of those six, so happy, bring it on. I'm ready to be almost overwhelmed.
Well, I like the idea that neither of you have played this game, so I think both of you going in with fresh set of eyes and something new, I don't know, and you know, not upsetting Roushi and Chris 1.0 will probably be good on my karma for them. I don't know. We'll see.
I'm sure you've upset them by eliminating a lot of the other games, so no worries there at all, right? This game has a North American and a European release. I don't know if there are any differences, but maybe we should look into that before we start playing.
We'll
let this go out. We'll let this go out. We'll give it a couple of days, and then we'll let people have a listen, and then we'll start to get into air some views on Discord as to kind of which versions or whatever.
Yep.
I mean, I'm almost certainly be playing this emulated.
Okay.
Anyway, so I've got easy access to whatever.
Yeah, I'll bring it. I actually probably will try to play it on the Mi U Mini as well, because it'll be good to have it handheld and with save states for a long game like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. The problem is with a lot of these strategic RPGs is that most of the time you can't save in battle.
No, exactly. Final and a battle Fantasy can Tactics. Be like half an hour.
Yeah, 45 Ooh. Minutes, maybe even longer. Mm. For those who are maybe interested in buying a physical copy, the first entry when I've just typed it into eBay, 1994 Sega CD game. Oh, this is NTSC, £1,386.49.
Ouch.
There's another one for £925.
Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah. Bargain.
So there you go. Don't everyone raid eBay too quick. 874, yeah. So a nice cheap one.
I think if you've got the original hardware, I think we're going to get some CD burners firing at I think this yeah. this to go. Yeah, yep. No, that's crazy that one's going for that much money. My heck. My heavens, I don't know. Yep.
Well, let's wrap it up and start planning ahead.
Let's do it. Yeah, we're a little longer than I thought we'd be on these games, but that's good. Yeah, let's see. What do you guys? You guys got
to I'm really surprised that you didn't pick Vandalheart. It seems as if you're deliberately setting yourself up to fail here. But I'm looking forward to recording next month, mate.
2 months. We got 2 months, Mads.
Oh yeah, 2 months. Yeah.
But we do have some episodes planned in the meantime. We've got one coming up at the end of August.
Oh yeah. Yep.
So we won't.
Playing some really, really good C64 games there.
So that should be
more
fun.
More on that later. Yeah.
That should be fun. So they won't be going too far out between episodes, which always made me sad when I had to wait for so long for another episode to come out. So that's good. But you guys got any shouts? What do you got, Mads?
Usual shout outs to the guys from New Game Old Flame that we're playing the high score challenge game with these days. The Fix It Felix Jr. Good fun, and some great guys over there on their Discord forum as well. And of course to Carl from Video Game Newsroom Time Machine, because he finally got me to play Looney Tunes on my Game Boy. I enjoyed that one. So apart from that, I think just the usual suspects, Matt, Steve, and Dean, and you guys. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, you bet. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, ditto to that. Just to extend it to Andy and Jim as well, of course, over on Playthrough. It's hard to remember everyone. And the Kane and Rince crew, of course, as well. Looking forward to playing some more games with those guys. Looking forward to playing some RPGs with you guys. And chatting Outrun 2 as well.
Yeah.
Soon. Hopefully soon. Hopefully, within the next few days, maybe.
Another week, yeah.
When Mads gets back from his holiday.
Yes.
That's great.
But that'll be good. Yeah, no, thank you very much. Yeah.
For me, I've got a couple interesting ones. So Carl, with the new the Video Game Newsroom Time Machine, he did an interview with his old boss recently. I mean, I think he releases his interview so after the fact, but he just released it to the common folk. And I enjoyed that episode so much. It was he owned a fun time center, family center, and just hearing the stories of how he started that. I don't know. Have you heard that one, Mads? Did you get to hear
that
one?
No, I haven't actually heard that one yet. So that must have been when he lived in Seattle.
Yes. So he was a teenager and one of his early jobs. But it was just a fascinating listen. It was different from his getting some kind of legend on there to interview. And I just, I don't know. It's just sunk into me, really. Because I remember there was a lot of those type of places around me here. A lot of little mom-pop entertainments as well, some big time type of places, little fun centers for the families to go to. So that was really enjoyed that. And on the Kane and Rince, Chris, I listened to their Oregon Trail episode that they just dropped.
It was good, wasn't it?
And I really enjoyed that too, because that was a game that is very fond to me with my early school years. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Jesse Fuchs, who was on that show, is a real proper gaming historian. He teaches it.
That's awesome.
So yeah, he knows his shizzle.
He kind of knows it all. Yeah, I enjoyed that one immensely. It's crazy how many different versions they talked about. Like a 1985 version. I think that was the one that I played. They talked about it was like the different way of hunting, and that. Yeah. So that was really cool. So between those two, I really enjoyed. And, of course, shout-outs to you guys. Thanks for letting me host and have fun this episode, making me squirm in my seats. And I'm sure I upset a lot of you out there for wiping out your favorite tactical RPG. I hate that the fact that RPGs have subgenres, but that is what it is. That is what it is. And I think with that, I think we'll bid you guys adieu.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. At home or the arcade for adventures in a fantasy zone.